Bimbop.
Talk about fate.
Yeah, Bimbop. Welcome to the Fills, everyone. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today. Top five sidekicks.
It's a solid topic.
Solid topic. I can't help but think. I don't know if you know this, Anderson. The Film Vault has a subreddit. A sub on Reddit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We have a subreddit.
Did not know that.
It's not heavily trafficked, as you might guess, but people do post there, and someone posted a very funny topic, a very funny post. They say every week, they say, my wife and I like new music, and she kind of relies on me to pick up new music and find it and share it with her, and every Friday, without fail, he says to his wife, hey, honey, let's check out this new song, this new artist, and he starts to play, and it's our featured artist. She's like, oh, that sounds good. Who is it? And then all of a sudden, yeah, Film. Every time, think about how upset she must be when my fucking voice comes in.
Mm-hmm. So he does that joke to her every week.
Every week.
That's good.
That's good stuff. Funny. Yeah. That's good stuff.
How'd you find out about that?
I'm glad
Were you on Reddit? Reddit?
I was Redditing.
Okay.
Yes, I read it on Reddit.
Reddit!
Hence the name.
Red Edit. That's what JLC calls it from the After Disaster. Because I guess there was a forum on Reddit all about JLC and his initial douchey pot smoking video that he posted on YouTube. And he's like, yeah, sure. So his response video was, yeah, so I don't care if all you people making fun of me on Red Edit. Red Edit. Wrong. Hey, big news here on the Film Vault.
Oh.
If you have always wanted to send something to the Film Vault, say Brian or I, P.O. Box.
What?
Got it.
Got a P.O. Box.
Bang. Oh. Here's what you do.
Thanks,
put my
buddy.
Name, put the Film Vault. Put the After Disaster, put Anderson.
Can I split the cost with you?
Put Logan, whatever you like, and address it to P.O. Box 570058. That's P.O. Box 570058. Tarzana, just like Tarzan, but with an A in the end. Tarzana, California, 91357.
Wow.
91357, Tarzana, California. Also, first time I've done this here, but I got a box full. Cold Cockle Production T-shirts.
Really?
People have been bugging me to make those available for a little while now.
Look at you, Anderson, the businessman.
Not really businessman. It's just a box that's been literally sitting in my office for my home office for like 2 months now. I'm like, I'm gonna go old school here. $25. Send a check to that PO box.
Wow.
And I'll get you a shirt. I'm gonna make them available online too later. But right now, just $25. More than $25.
Indicate the size of the T-shirt.
And
place.
What kind of size you want. They're just like American Apparel, even though it's not American Apparel. My shirt guy doesn't carry American.
They're soft.
But they're like the blend. They're good. High quality. They're good shirts. They're comfortable. And they're black with the Cold Cockle Production logo.
I would like one.
I'll hook you up, buddy.
Thanks. How much?
You send a check, Brian. $25 check to PO Box 570058.
Feels like I could cut out the middleman and just hand you a check.
All right, I'd prefer getting one in the mail.
That would be very odd if I went to the trouble of mailing you. I'm going to mail you a check.
Also, Brian, is there anything on Amazon that you would like to click through and get for yourself that costs $40 or less?
$40 or less?
Yeah.
There's always things that I need, yeah. They refill our gummy vitamins and such.
It's a very specific question I ask. And the reason being, Eric Clemens sent us an Amazon gift card.
Hey!
Just out of the goodness of his
Why
heart.
Why would he do
goodness
that?
In his heart. I don't know.
Who is Eric Clemens?
He wanted you, Logan, and I to enjoy a little gift card on him. So thank you very much, Eric Clemens. I'm going to buy myself some douchey skateboard wheels that light up.
Is that going to cost more than $40?
It's like $30.
Oh, well, what can I do with
Pretty exciting.
Can I spend the last 10?
No batteries. You just cruise and like it's got this Tesla type setup where like they spin
it's
the magnet.
Coil,
yeah. It's pretty sweet.
So it's $40 for each of us or $40 total?
40 for each.
Oh.
Unless we want to cut Logan and just down to 15%.
We definitely should do that.
Yeah,
we absolutely should do that.
You
it's
have
very
to do
odd
the math
to even
there,
consider giving him a full share.
He sent us a 120, which is very nice, just out of the goodness of his heart. Yeah.
50, 50, and 20. That's good.
Yeah. There you go, Logs. $20. He just got downgraded.
Okay. $20 more than he had.
Let's talk movies.
Let's talk some movies.
Also, whoever the listener is that suggested top five sidekicks, please hit me up wherever you did. I could not find. I was looking for your name to credit you and say thank you because it's a good topic.
It is.
Which is kind of a sore subject right now.
Why?
Because you and I got in an argument about topics right before the mics cracked.
That is true.
Yeah.
We had one of our famous arose.
Yeah. And I could tell that Logan was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, he turned around.
Like mommy and daddy.
I got to count votes. I got to count a list of votes.
It's always weird when we're fighting in front of mics, but these mics are off. Mm. But we're still fighting or arguing. Yeah, it's weird.
We couldn't settle on a topic.
Yeah, it was a little deeper than that, but let's go. Let's talk about movies that we've seen since the last time we talked to y'all.
Indeed. Well, Flick Fest, the films we've seen in the last week. Anderson, you want to go first?
I told you months ago that I'm not playing this. Please.
I'll go first.
Oh, I got a controversial number one flick fashion this
really?
Week. Controversial.
What's controversial about it?
You'll see.
Okay.
Oh, you'll see. Go, you fuck.
I saw a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you'll let it go first. I saw a movie. I saw a documentary that I assigned to you. Maybe we can talk about it together.
Oh, let's do it. The Wrecking Crew.
The Wrecking Crew.
The Wrecking Crew. Let me pull up my notes here.
This is in theaters now. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary that was started in 1996, completed in 2008, and is in theaters now.
Very odd.
Very odd.
You know what is old because, A, the font and the little chyrons that they're using look like mid-90s stuff.
Oh, yeah. Looks like it's a Young TV Raps.
And then... Young Dick Clark comes on.
Dick Clark, not slurring, it was and alive.
Pre-stroke Clark on there, and he was alive, right, like Brian said. I know that he was like an animatronic robot for most of his life, and it was hard to tell what he was until those last 2 years. So this was obviously shot before those last 2 years.
Yes.
It's been a few years since he died, right?
I believe so.
Anyways, this is directed by famed...
Watching him on New Year's Eve on my house, so it's at least I think he died after 2011.
When they wheeled him out there, and it was really uncomfortable for everyone involved? He should not have been on TV.
They cut all the cutaways to him were pre-taped. It was very awkwardly uncomfortable, awkwardly obvious. It was like, why are we doing this? Why are we trotting this man's corpse out here?
So
it was mean.
This is a movie that was directed by Denny Tedesco.
Yep, Danny Tedesco. I have Danny. Is it Denny?
Denny.
Oh, well, shit. I fucked it up.
IMDb says, IMDb has this movie as a 2008 release, which I had to triple and quadruple check.
Yes, you're like, wait, can this the right movie?
Rotten Tomatoes has it 2015, but it's a 2008 movie that's in theaters now, like Brian said. Directed and created by, not a filmmaker, but a man named Denny Tedesco, whose father, you're seeing a lot more of this nowadays because of the advent of technology and everyone has an editing bay on their computer.
Well, and everyone just probably had a video cameras going, you know, 10, 20, 25 years ago.
It's a movie about session players from years and years ago, starting back, going back as far as the 60s. And Denny, the director's father, was Tommy Tedesco,
right,
who was one of the more famed or unfamed as
more
it
notable
were,
members.
More notable well, yeah, session
you're right. It's not just session
player.
Musicians. This is the famous Wrecking Crew, who is the backing band. They're sort of the West Coast's answer to the Funk Brothers or the session bands, from Motown and stuff like that. So,
did you enjoy this film?
I did. I didn't enjoy it nearly as much as I wanted to.
Now, you're a lover of this brand of music too, right? It's the kind of music that you would throw on at pretty much all the music you hear could be played at a wedding, and not that many people.
That's not a terrible. I thought you were going to say a frat party. I was getting angry at you because there's some pretty good music in here. Granted, pretty old. A lot of Beach Boys and a lot of some Motown. Phil Spector is prominently in this, and there's some great music, and I did love a lot of it.
The last act,
I will say that I didn't like as much as I would hope.
You already said that. The last 30 minutes was somewhat interesting on how they really pulled the wool over the public's eye as far as who actually made these songs and made the music. And back in the day, and I was not aware of this, but they would just have musicians, these professional musicians. It was always the same core.
Right.
As many as 25 or maybe 30 guys would get all the jobs.
Yeah, and
they'd make the music.
Yeah.
They'd make the music, and then they would have a different group of kids as the band on the cover of the album.
Right.
Monkees is the most notable.
Monkees is the obvious one, but then like even the Birds and the Mamas and the Papas, like none of them played on the actual albums. They played in concert, but then even the Beach Boys after a certain point.
Creepy. I don't like it, and it's so different from the music that I grew up with, that I grew up loving. Now this works as a companion piece to lovers of that music. I don't think it works as a standalone at all. I was quite bored and couldn't wait for a tent.
I was sadly a little bit bored too. I mean, I enjoyed the music.
So many names, so many people being thrown at you, and it's like most of them are people that you've never heard of.
I heard most of them.
You've heard of Tommy Tedesco?
Actually, none of them. I thought you meant like literally the people they were bringing.
No, not
up
the bands.
Like
I'm talking about these session players.
The session guys, sure. It was hard to keep them straight a lot of the times.
One of them's name was Jimmy Bond. I like that. The black guy. His name
Glenn
was Jimmy
Campbell
Bond.
Was probably the most famous guy who went on to solo success.
Here's how much I know about music, which is very little. I kept thinking that I'm like, I know that guy. I think he got famous. He had like a hit for like Top Gun or something.
No, Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Fry is who I was
thinking. Glenn Fry is not Glenn
very
Campbell.
Different person.
Glenn Campbell's Rhinestone Cowboy.
So you can all miss this 7-year-old movie.
I here's what you're going to get. You're going to get some great songs. You're going to get some great stories.
You're going to get it streaming on Fuckflix probably in a couple months. That's that kind of movie.
And you're going to get some great archival footage. Yeah, I would stream this. I wouldn't go to
see it. Do not go out of your way. This is a two and a half, three-star movie.
To me, it was a perfect 3 out of 5-star movie. I guess I'm mostly agreeing with you. I think I liked it a little more because of the music, but ultimately, and also the problem with a movie like this is, and it's not its fault, it's just what it is, it's going to get compared to Standing in the Shadows of Motown and the 20 Feet from Stardust, Muscle Shoals, and all these movies.
Why do you continue to make me watch these movies? I don't really like music that much.
I realize that.
You know what I do like? Deadfoot! Can't stop, Brian. Going down the rabbit hole. I'm deep down there.
Oh, no.
Deep down You're that rabbit hole. I've watched splashing. I've watched the short that Harmony Korine made with them. Not quite sure what to say about that, but I've been finding like old documentary, like 30-minute documentaries. A listener sent me a 2-parter documentary that comes out of 30 minutes that I've watched twice now. Mm. That is so, they're so complex. Smart people making dumb music is like my thing. I love it.
That's great.
Oh, it's so great, Brian.
Back to one last thing, The Wrecking Crew. I had hoped that it would be better and that you would like it much more and that I would like it much more.
Music documentaries, unless it's about Deanford.
Did you like Sugar Man?
Yeah, well, that was the twist. That worked without it being about music.
That could have been like a mystery movie.
Right.
Sure. I'm with you. Okay.
But Muscle Shoals, I was forgetting this movie as it was happening. Like, I could feel it escaping my brain. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to remember really much. Oh. And there was so much new information that I had no idea about. I guess, like, I got a bit of an education on how music used to be put together back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's some great archival footage.
Yeah. On the scale of good versus bad, this is good. But wait for it to stream.
Creepy how the bass-playing chick used to be hot, huh?
Hotter.
Oh, she was... Really, was there was a picture fetching.
When I first saw her, I was convinced that she was transsexual. I was 100% convinced.
All right, what else you think?
Oh, is it my turn?
Yep.
Speaking of controversial. Wouldn't it be funny if this is the same one?
It's not going to be.
All right. I saw one that could be considered TV. Mm-hmm. Directed by documentary filmmaker Andrew Jarecki.
Ah, you motherfucker! My controversial!
Controversial!
You scooped me! Yeah, here we go. The Jinx!
The life and death
What are you
Robert
doing?
Durst.
Watching good television.
You
what are you doing?
The Jinx was blowing up on social media about a week ago, and I was like, what is the, I'm like, I saw it on my menu on DirecTV, and I skipped over it many times, and then I looked into it, and I was like, wait, Capturing the Friedmans?
Yeah.
The guy who directed Capturing the Friedmans made The Jinx, and I was like, I'm in.
It's a and all good things.
It's a 6-part series, real-life documentary. Yeah. I'm in.
So now, those of you who have not seen
The Jinx,
don't worry. I got Brian on a leash here. We're not going to give anything away. Honestly, though, even if you knew everything about this thing, it stands up. It stands on its own, if you knew every goddamn thing.
To wit, I knew the ending of this because you couldn't escape it.
I did. I've been escaping news for years, my friend.
You didn't know how it was going to end?
I had heard that he may have had an unfortunate run-in with the law.
Right.
But I didn't. There was a lot I didn't know.
Okay, I knew about as much as you. Let's just say I knew where it was going to end up. I knew the point it was going to end up at.
This is on HBO.
It took many great twists and turns.
Made for HBO. And it is 4.5 hours long.
It's six episodes.
Each one's about 45 minutes. And let me just tell you guys this. All right. It's worth the 4.5 hours just for the last 5 minutes of the entire series.
It's pretty
the
great.
Wrap up is so goddamn compelling. It's
and this
fantastic.
Is as cinematic a documentary. I mean, it's made by Andrew Jarecki, the guy who did
Capturing the Friedmans.
Right?
Yeah, where he started making that one and it turned into something else.
Right. This same one, kind of thing.
This one, same fucking thing. Yeah. So you learn all about this man Robert Durst, who apparently New Yorkers know much more about him and his family than
we
do out here.
That was my thing. Was like, how do I not know about this guy? This guy is apparently super infamous.
But
like
it's hilarious.
Cover of the New York Post.
Horrifying. And just compelling. I mean, through and through. This is a feat. This is fantastic. And they got so lucky, as great documentaries have to have a lot of luck. Mm-hmm. I did not knowingly lie. No one tells the whole truth all the time.
God, he's great.
Oh, I want him as a dad. I want him as a father.
Hey, speaking of great character.
It's not true. I don't want him as a father.
Speaking of great character, did you see All Good Things?
No. No.
You may have to.
What? Have you seen it?
No, I want to know it's good. Andrew Jarecki, the director, made a feature film with Ryan Reynolds called
Ryan Gosling.
You're right, Ryan Gosling. Yeah, thank you.
Ryan Gosling.
Based on this. Well, obviously not.
I've noticed that movies accurate. With good in the title are terrible for memory as far as title. It's just not good title.
Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting might be an exception, but like as good as it gets.
Mm.
A few good men.
Good Burger.
Top five movies with good in the title.
That's next week on the Film Bowl.
Negative.
We finally agree on something.
So yes,
I told you we'd never run out of topics.
I am excited I do have an interest in All Good Things, which is a terrible title though. But I will watch All Good Things. It's, okay. It's not readily streaming or anything.
It is streaming.
It is.
Logan, look up All Good Things. I'm almost positive streaming.
Anyways, it's got a picture of sexy Gosling there on the cover, laying in bed.
Yeah.
Who's this? Who's the?
I'm pretty sure it's not Julia Stiles. The fucking other one, Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, you're right.
Dunst.
Streaming.
Whoa.
Sweet. All right. Go ahead.
The Jinx. What else is there to say about The Jinx? Hold on. Where are my notes? Where are my notes in front of me?
I didn't take any notes because I had no
plans. I took many notes.
On flickfesting this until I realized just how great it was.
So yes, Robert Durst. I actually mistakenly said Fred Durst. A squinty, twitchy old man. Uh-huh. His first wife. Okay, just so you guys know, if you do not know the story of Robert Durst, his first wife, Kathy, disappeared in 1982. His friend was murdered in 2000. And in 2001, his neighbor was killed and dismembered by him.
Which is court record, and they covered the entire case of him dealing with that accusation.
And he got off for it. He got
Would you stop?
Well, he's clearly walking around.
Well, maybe he went away for a while, and actually he did. Just let people watch this fucking thing. All right. How did that add to anything?
Because
this is a movie show, and we're here to talk about movies.
How do you talk out of both sides of your mouth like that? Where it's court record, it's court record, and so he got off.
I wasn't sure what the verdict was going to be watching it. Were you?
I was, because he was walking around.
Yeah, but maybe he went away and got out later.
Potentially true. However.
God damn you.
People accuse us, and rightfully so sometimes. People from the South are an easy target. They say you're a little hard on people from the South.
And it's when? Like, how? Who? What?
People.
That's
people
a lot of questions.
People have gotten on our case over
when
being a little harsh in the South.
Who has?
People. Listeners.
Okay. All right.
People on Reddit.
Everyone's hard on the South because every time anyone does a dumb voice, they always immediately.
The go-to dumb voice is a little bit overdone. I could do without the improv but comic.
How did that happen just now?
Because the jurors who they interviewed. After the trial, where they got Robert Durst admitted to killing and dismembering, and his defense was self defense, and they got him off. And,
how miserable did that guy that he killed look? He was doing him a favor.
It's actually kind
of
true.
They only had one photo of this man his entire life. The victim, one photo, and it was like his ID photo.
So their quotes are especially so hilarious terrible. In retrospect. The more we know about Robert Durst, quote, one juror said, I felt he was talking from the heart. Another said, quote, I think he was unfairly accused. And another one said, yeah, I think he's just the unluckiest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
These country bumpkins let a fucking serial killer back on the streets.
He's not a serial killer.
If you kill three people...
He may allegedly, or may not have.
Allegedly.
I did not knowingly lie.
Oh, it's so good. What else is going on here?
Okay, so what else did you see, Brian? Let's do this. Enough with the Jinx. Let people watch it.
We need more Jinx.
Here's a little tip, guys.
It's an if odd you're title, considering the Jinx came up once in kind of an offhanded comment. Like, why the Jinx?
It's fine. It's a fine title. It's better
It's not fine.
It's way better than All Good Things.
It's better than All Good Things.
If you're an DirecTV, this is not a plug. This is just a little tip. I think I talked about it at length on the After Disaster, but if you're maybe here, forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but Game of Moans coming back real soon.
Game of Moans?
Game of Thrones.
Oh.
There's a lot of sex.
Okay.
Here's what you do. If you got DirecTV, HBO, they got this $50 rebate card that they assume most of you will sign up for and forget to get. So you get HBO for 3 months. It's like $17.99 a month, and then you get a $50. If you keep track, print out your statements, circle them, send them back for the rebate, $50 rebate. So it comes out to $3.50, $3.50 or something like that for HBO for 3 months. You get all Game of Thrones.
Oh.
You get The Jinx. You can watch
The Jinx.
Because I got HBO
Go. Get going clear, Scientology.
I got HBO Go.
Coming out next month.
It was on there for a second. It was on my HBO Go, and then it disappeared. Because I got HBO Go over the weekend for the wife because she really wanted to watch The Jinx. I'm like, all right, we'll do The Jinx. I did not knowingly have HBO.
Do you think if you're...
But that's what you do, $50, and just to stay on top of it, because I don't like that. They actually called me up. I was skating down the street, enjoying myself, enjoying the day, wind blowing in my hair. My phone rings from some strange prefix that I didn't recognize from the South.
Oh.
And the dude's
like, bumpkin
hey,
was like, hey, y'all.
Anderson Cowan, I'm calling on behalf of DirecTV. Well, congratulations. You've been selected to get HBO and a $50 rebate card. You just have to go to the website. And he just started talking all fast. He's like, thank you very much. And he was about to hang up. I'm like, oh, hold on. Hey, I stopped my skateboard. I looked cool doing it.
You literally put on the brakes and you yelled.
There's no brakes on my skateboard. And I did a 360. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, stop it. Hey, Brian. His name was Brian. I'm like, were you about to hang up? And then that's that. Like, I'm signed up for HBO. And he's like, yes, sir. I'm like, well, that's not happening. What the But anyways, I said, well, if you can hook me up with the $50 gift card, just send it right now. We're in business.
We're all good.
He's like, no, you have to go to the website. You have to fill this out. They make you jump through hoops. That's an old fucking parlor trick.
Yeah. But hopefully you'll forget.
Do it, though. Let's do it. Let's all get our HBO. Let's enjoy ourselves. You got all of The Wire on there.
Yeah.
You got all of The Sopranos. One episode I've never seen.
Great. I've seen every episode.
But I've heard good things. Yeah. I've heard some good things about The Sopranos.
You get Oz. You get
Tons of great documentaries. Tons of good stuff on HBO Go. So let's enjoy HBO Go this summer, kids. Start off with the jinx.
If you're to be critical, by the way, speaking of critical, I apologize to our listeners from the South. I'm obviously not talking about you. Unless you were on the Robert Durst jury. In that case,
you didn't sit
you.
There for day in, day out and, you know, hear all the shit. You got to, what's the term that they use in courtrooms? Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
Yeah, there's a good chance. It's their burden.
If you're to be to prove without, I still don't know what you think of the jinx. You haven't said what you think of it.
I love it. What are you talking about?
You didn't say much about it. You've been avoiding.
I want people to discover.
They want to hear what you have to say.
He's a very compelling, interesting character. The director is.
He's a character in it, too.
A character in it as well. Despite his douchey facial hair, yeah, I like him.
Trim the goatee.
Get rid of it, dude. You look like some kind of villain in a silent movie. What are you doing?
What's worse, his goatee or Morgan Spurlock's handlebar?
Spurlock's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
So.
If there is a criticism, I think there's a little bit too much of the B-roll reenactment stuff. They had to pad it out to 6 episodes. It could have cut it down a little bit, maybe 40-minute episodes.
But we watched all of it in one afternoon.
We
just didn't stop.
Yeah,
and the wife was very tired, and it was like 2 in the morning by the time we wrapped up, but we just kept going. We had to because it was that good. You want to continue to see where it's going.
The I wonder if she had nightmares.
And yeah, it might have been... This could have been a very good 2.5, 3-hour movie, I think.
Yeah,
and released in theaters. But I like the way that they did it.
Okay.
Also, Paradise Lost, the entire trilogy available there on HBO Go. HBO Go. Let's
HBO.
Do this. Okay, so what else did you see? Let's move on from the jinx, all right?
I saw a third film that I will talk about later in the episode.
That was work. Really?
Yeah.
It made it on the list.
That's it.
Made it on the list. All right. From a few different listeners, I'd say probably 3 or 4, hit me up and said I had to go see a movie called The Following. No, It Follows.
It Follows. Oh,
it
people
follows.
Have been telling me to see that.
Okay. One person hadn't seen it. They just had read about it and they were very excited about it, except it was the closest place it was playing to them was 4 hours away, and he didn't want to make the round trip.
It's pretty far.
8-hour round trip to see It Follows. So I was kind of on the fence because it's a horror film. I'm not a horror guy. And then my good buddy, the guy that made our DuckTales song.
Oh, yeah. Trevor.
He and his wife Lauren love their horror films. So love horror films in general. So he's like, hey, you have to go see this. I already saw it. It's great. You're gonna come with us. We're gonna go see it. So
is that Little Lauren?
Little Lauren, yeah. You know Lauren.
I do.
So
in years.
I went to see
It Follows
with my buddy and his wife, and it was a good time.
I need to hear about this movie. Should I see it?
Where the fuck are my notes?
You're not a horror guy, neither am I. So what are your impressions?
Oh, this is a problem. Where are my notes?
Come on, bud.
Yeah, this is a problem.
I don't know.
Oh, there it is.
I don't know anything about It Follows. You can tell me who's in it. Tell me who's in it.
But no recognizable faces.
Okay.
All.
Interesting.
It's a low-budget horror film made by this guy who's made one other movie before, which I had not seen either. So this guy's brand new to me. And this new generation of, God, I feel like an old guy saying this, but there's so many kids nowadays making movies. This kid, I think he's probably like in his mid-20s, late-20s that made this. You know, they grow up with a video camera in their pocket, literally. Like I already said earlier, editing bay on their computer, and they have access to all these fucking movies. Whereas, like back in the day, like we had to go to VHS rentals, you know, and before that, people had to go see theaters exclusively, only see movies in theaters, and once they're gone, they're gone. Can you imagine, like, having, you know, now you have access to everything? So we've got a lot of sophisticated movie makers coming out these days,
they're
making
growing up
some
fast.
Really great stuff. This felt the same tone as Blue Rune. Let me give you the, and you know me, and I love that Blue Rune.
Yes, you do.
And you do too.
I liked it. Not as much as you, but it was a good movie. I liked it.
This is the same tone, the same kind of feel. It's a horror film, and here's the premise, and it sets up some new rules that I haven't seen in horror movies. And this is not a gore fest movie. It's not a slasher film. So if you're going, there is some gore,
more suspense.
There is some gore, but it's more of a mind fuck.
A thriller.
There's a sexual. It opens up with a very attractive young girl running around in high heels. She runs out of, it's like dusk. She runs out of her house and she's all freaked out. You know what she's freaked out about? And she's like running around her street, like a residential neighborhood, really quiet. And then she takes off in her car. She calls her dad, says that she loves him, and she wishes she was a better daughter. And she's on the beach, and then bad things happen.
Oh no!
Leave it at that. Then it follows a whole different set of friends and this young attractive girl. And her little sister, this young, attractive girls strewn throughout, which was nice. And that sounded wrong. But
what you mean?
She has a sexual encounter with a boy who's a little bit older than her. And then everything's going good. And one thing leads to another. And he pretty much overpowers her, ties her to a wheelchair, and says, "I'm sorry I'm doing this to you, but I have to explain something." And essentially he tells her that he has given her a sexually transmitted ghost. That's the best I can come up with. And this is all the open. And this is all like in the setup. So I'm not giving too much away because I have to get here to make the story compelling enough to make you interested in seeing it. So he proceeds to explain to her as she's all freaked out and crying. She's lost her virginity to this guy. And now he ties her up to a wheelchair. He's like, "It happened to me. It got passed on to me by somebody else. Now I have to pass it on to you. It gets passed through sex, and it's going to come for you. It's going to follow. It will come to you. You know, it's going to look different every time. It could be somebody you know." And he goes, and they're like in this abandoned building, and it's the whole thing takes place in like old abandoned Detroit, which is kind of cool. And then he takes her, like they're on the second story of this old abandoned building, and he takes her in the wheelchair. He's like, "I see her. I see it. It's coming." And he wheels her to the edge, and there's this like half-naked woman just walking, very slowly, walking towards the two of them. And he's like, "It's going to come, and it's going to come. I'm so sorry I had to do this to you." He lets her go, and he takes off. The fucking thing continues to follow her, and the new rule here is that, like, If you, like, let's say Logan's the thing that's right. going to follow, he starts coming, walking towards you.
I can't fire him.
You can run. He's not going to start running after you. He'll continue to walk slowly. You get in your car, you could drive to, like, Palm Springs.
He'll catch up eventually.
You'll hang out there for the weekend, enjoy the pool and stuff. Eventually, however long it will take, that thing, and it's going to change bodies along the way, too. But that's the new rule. And I feel like they could have had more fun with that rule, done more things with it. All that being said, though, it was very suspenseful, very entertaining, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. There's tons more to explore and discover with this movie that I didn't give too much away with the setup. Horror has been done over and over again, and this one has new rules, like I said, but also, obviously, giant John Carpenter fan. The music, the score is something to behold. I mean, just from the very open, the sound design and the score on this thing was fucking amazing.
How's it end? It's a very professional show.
The worst STD
Henderson
ever.
Moaning his way through his notes.
There might be one scene, like the time, like all a bunch of old cars.
Top five STDs.
AIDS, the clap, gonorrhea. What else? What are we doing?
We'll find some more. Syphilis.
But you can't, like, a lot of the cars are old. There's not really many cell phones. And there's like one of the chicks, she's pregnancy. Constantly reading on what looks like a makeup. Like, it's like a makeup mirror, but it's actually digital. It's
compact.
Very odd.
Compact.
It's a compact, but it's like a digital compact that doesn't exist in the real world. So that's an odd little... I meant to look that up so I had an answer. But It Follows. It's limited release right now. It's been going around the festival circuits. Like I said, I'm not much of a horror guy, but this one I really am glad I saw it, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. And if you get a chance, see this one in the theater just for the sound design alone,
all right.
If nothing more.
I mean, It Follows.
The score really kicks it up a notch.
If it's playing less than 4 hours away from you, what's the cutoff? Say it's worth driving an hour for?
Get released any more? You know what? I'll look it up. Logan, will you look that up and see if It Follows?
Logan has a lot to do.
Does he?
He has to stare at his thumbs.
I don't want to go.
March 27th, wide.
Oh, it's going wide.
Well, according to IMDb, that could be like limited wide, but
it could be 1,000 theaters. Still, 1,000 theaters is a lot. Limited wide.
Yeah, sweet. It follows. Good-looking girls, too. Oh. A little young, but good-looking. One of them farts in the beginning. I didn't like that much. Could have done without that.
Coming up next.
A couple times, I'm like, holy shit. No! Get out! I almost...
Were you yelling at the screen?
I almost wanted to. Really? I actually went to a horrible theater that I hate. The Arc fucking Light.
Well, you hate that. Why do you hate that theater? Why do you hate all the nice
because
theaters?
Because it doesn't have popcorn. It has gourmet popcorn.
Oh, does
fuck
it?
Fuck you.
I'm in there in years.
I just want to see a movie, man. Why do you got to... Why you gotta act like you're fancy? You're showing movies.
The funny thing is, you love going to like the crappy, decrepit movie houses.
Fuck yeah,
it's funny.
It's like I'd much rather go.
I texted you about doing a double date to see.
Sounds like a hell.
Wrecking Crew.
That sounds like hell on earth, Brian. Going to that theater with you.
You, me, and my balls.
But yeah, I like dive bars. I don't need to be treated like I'm going to the opera. Trying to focus on the movie, and please don't come in and tell me what movie I'm seeing. I know.
Have you ever gone in the wrong theater?
Never.
Never once?
You know, I walked out of It Follows, and I almost followed myself into Wild Tales was playing right across the way at the Arc Fuck Light. Yeah. Almost walked in there to watch the last Wedding Story. God, I love that. Wild Tales.
Wild Tales, very good.
Oh.
Coming up next, Top 5 Sidekicks.
You.
I see you're wearing a Fitbit there.
Yeah,
as am I.
I kind of feel douchey wearing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's kind of douchey.
It's good stuff. Thanks to the guy or girl who bought the Fitbit Charge wireless activity wristband.
Oh, not
Slate.
Douchey for you, though. I bet it looks good.
I bet
in
it does.
Slate. That's what the color this is. It's actually black, but it gets fancy.
In the light. Mm-hmm. Time to read the interesting and notable purchases. Purchased through the Amazon banner on AndersonandBryan.com. I don't hear the music. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's good.
No, I don't want to hear the music.
No, you want to.
Yeah, I want to.
It makes, yeah.
I'm saying I don't hear it.
Oh, you.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, does it always come this late?
Yeah, yeah. He does it after you do your little setup.
Okay,
there.
Good. Okay, well, let's try and hit the mark. By the way, we appreciate when you hear things maybe on other podcasts or you hear them spoken of by other hosts and you click through us to buy them. Five people who bought Drop Stops. We appreciate that. The Squatty Potty Toilet Stool and the Smart Mouth Mouthwash. Mm. We appreciate that. Thanks
both
for clicking through, you guys. Appreciate the love.
Covered. Both
heads. That's right. That's a good point. Going in, going out.
All right.
What else? Someone bought a Lenovo 15-inch laptop.
Ooh.
Ooh. Weber Chicago Steak Seasoning. You know, the actual Weber, like, restaurant is in Chicago. They have a big barbecue outside, like, on the corner of the restaurant, like, way up above.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. Other things you're purchased. Oh, some sexual items. The Fetish Fantasy Hollow Strap-On.
Hollow.
The Taintus Bend Over Intermediate Kit, the Doc Johnson 12-inch Jelly Double Dong, and the Smartel New Top Sex Toys Wild Fox Tail Anal Plug Butt for Women.
Wait, what? That's one of those tails.
That is.
That's one of those, like, it makes you look like you have a tail.
That's for cosplay. That's what it says right here.
Holy shit, listeners. What's the matter with you?
Oh, someone got, this is a very clever thing.
I'm not judging, but
pepper spray that's actually shaped like a pen. It looks like a pen, but it's pepper spray.
That could be very dangerous if
Apple
your mom's
TV,
looking for a pen.
Beard Wash, 8 ounces, Hoover Power Scrub Deluxe Carpet Washer, a Samsung Smart TV, a Schwinn Bicycle for women.
Wow.
True Power Electric Shoe Shine Polisher with lamb wool buffers.
How mad would you be if you bought the Schwinn on Amazon and the UPS guy wrote it up? He doesn't write it up. Your Schwinn, he rings the bell.
You got yourself a hell of a unit here. A zipper repair kit, the Bad Motherfucker leather wallet.
Why would you?
Yeah, that's Pulp Fiction. The, a classically styled crimson maple pool cue. Yeah, got a pool cue.
Crimson.
You're a serious player. Your girl's princess castle toddler bed, and a Nintendo 3DS, Mario Party 10, Final Fantasy Type Zero. Two people bought each of those.
Oh, you just freaked out. Right?
Thank you, guys.
Here are the movies that were clicked through this last time I saw you. Short list this week, guys. Short list.
Only the best.
Big Hero 6 was clicked through. I'm not going to say that.
Why?
I will say Age of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow was clicked through. One of the funnier movies
of
Tom.
Live, Die, Repeat?
Yeah, I almost said Live, Die, too, which would have doubly fucked it up. Nightcrawler, which inspired an upcoming After Disaster episode where we're going to go out and nightcrawl.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's going to be a good
Please
time.
Please be safe.
Roadhog! Why am I saying that with such enthusiasm?
You're really into it.
Holy shit.
What's up, buddy?
Why did I just say that?
Because you love Roadhog.
You know what else I was thinking about? We went ad nauseum, and I'm not going to spend too much time here. This moment. One of the big things that
Logan tastefully brings music down for a film.
Talked about it on the After Disaster at length too, but the fact that he
Logan, bring the music
raised money from all of his listeners. So he's got a blue collar audience. And these are hardworking people
yes.
who gave their hard earned money to this man so he could, I don't know, make more money or live out a fantasy. I'm not sure why. But for him to take that money and not actually get somebody who knows what they're doing and put that person in charge is wildly, inexcusably reckless.
It's all of you feel
and,
that way.
And arrogant. Hmm.
Other movies?
E.T. was apparently click-through.
E.T.
If you're hearing the music. Career opportunities and click-through. I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's John Hughes film. John Hughes film. He wrote the movie.
Oh, that really old one.
Yeah.
Short-term 12 was click-through. Short-term 12. I thought that was dreamy. Fantastic fucking movie. Enjoy. And Superman 3, the deluxe edition.
Hmm.
I didn't realize, being a little kid, watching that Superman 3 over and over and over, literally wearing out the tape.
Hmm.
That it was kind of sad and pathetic for Richard Pryor to be taking such roles. Did not realize as a child.
Yeah.
Realize it now.
That's the top five we should do, is top five movies that you loved as a child and since realized are no good.
No.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Hey! Thanks for looking through, you guys. Appreciate it.
Back to the show.
Hi there, Carl Weathers here, and you're listening to Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Welcome back. Thanks, everyone, for downloading and listening. Thanks to feature artists this week. They are Phil Neal and the Whir Nails, Christian Nelson, Dead Cat Hat.
What? Dead Cat Hat.
The Winter Sounds, August Premiere, and the Midnight Scene. Thanks, you guys, for being feature artists this week. Check them all out, AndersonandBryan.com. And check out our slightly related film art, fan art this week from Jim M. Thanks, Jim, for making some great fan art
Jim-um.
This week. Appropriate Jim-um. For our Sidekicks episode. Sidekicks!
I want to make a dress, like a sequins dress.
Okay.
It's just something I want to do,
okay.
And I found some material. It's going to cost a lot of money, so I'm going to have the listeners all send me money,
okay,
so I can make this.
Good,
but I'm not going to get a tailor or anything to help me.
You're going
to
do it yourself.
I'm just going to hope for the best.
Do you have any experience making dresses?
No, none.
Oh, you have a passion for dresses, obviously.
I really want to make a dress.
Mm, interesting. You wouldn't want to hire a professional?
No, I don't want to do that.
I would recommend you do.
You know something else I saw since the last time I saw you, Brian, but I did not feel fast.
Bonus.
Saw little chaps.
To Chappie.
But back to see Chappie.
Oh, you
be seen
not.
A third time next week, Brian.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
It's
I'm
not
in love.
That good.
No, it is. The parts that are good, and you pick up on new parts that you didn't see. Like, I have a new favorite part now where Chappie calls his creator a cock. So
he
good.
Say, he does say cock.
Cock. Oh, my God. That DeAndvers got me by the balls, Brian. Hey, they're sidekicks to each other.
Yolandi
Visser could be considered sidekick. Chappie is a sidekick
sexist.
To them.
That's sexist.
Chappie actually is a sidekick
actually,
to them.
He kind of is. Oh,
number one for me, Chappie.
Rewrite. So how many non-human sidekicks do you have?
None.
None?
No, none. Hey, what are you getting cutesy on me over there?
No,
you
these are
non-human
all sidekicks. There are non-human sidekicks.
Come on now. Oh yeah, I guess.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
My first sidekick, number five for me.
I mean, I've watched Fatty Boom Boom. I watched the Fatty Boom Boom video probably 15 times since I saw you live. Every time I take a break, because I'm editing right now, right. I'm editing fucking hell right
Fatty
now.
Fatty Boom Boom.
I'm editing the Chrono and the Everybody Dies. And every time I reward myself with a break, get my head around something, I'll Fatty Boom Boom it up.
No Cookie Thumper?
The Fatty Boom Boom has really got me right
Is
now.
There any...
Even though the goddamn Parktown Prawn gets pulled out of Lady Gaga, which I did not never ever need to see that. I usually look away for that part.
Will there be any obvious or overt DeAndvoort influence on your shorts? Because you're editing them while you're watching a lot of...
No, I don't think so.
Really?
There's not a lot of crossover. Call my score guy. Just, I don't care what you do. Just make sure that it's DeAndvoort associated.
Got it.
Heavy on the DeAndvoort sound. Make it Zeph. All right, here we go. Number five.
You want to go first?
No, you go ahead. Because my number one is just...
That's right. You texted me earlier today. You rarely text me, first of all. Secondly, you rarely text me about the show. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, you rarely text me about the top five.
Right.
And you texted me, you're like, top five sidekicks. I'm like,
I was thinking about you. I was driving down the street and I was thinking about you.
And I replied with my number one...
No, you wrote inspired choice for my number one.
Inspired choice number one.
And I wrote... said, my number one is simply the correct answer. Which is true.
Which really threw down the gauntlet. Yeah. I'm very excited to hear what it is. How disappointed are you going to be if it's like my number four or three?
It could be. But you know what? I got a pretty decent poker face, and I don't think you'll know. That's a lie. I freak out all the time, and I wear my heart on my sleeve, so you'll know immediately.
You often throw your headphones off and run around the room and knock over a chair.
Let's do the list.
I don't know what the word is.
Let's do the list.
Here we go. Number five for me. Non-human.
Christ.
Want to make that noise again? No, that is not the noise that Dory makes.
Oh, good one!
From Finding Nemo!
She was on my also-ran list. She was almost on there.
Are there any females on your list? Any female sidekicks?
I got a couple.
Oh, okay. Well, Dory, voiced by Ellen DeGeneres from Finding Nemo 2003, directed by Andrew Stanton.
Not important.
No?
It's a cartoon.
Well, she was giving out some info. Dory is not the sidekick to Nemo, but no, to his father. Is Nemo a boy or a girl?
He was a boy.
I think he's a boy, right?
Yeah.
Remember
he banged that porpoise?
Oh, fucking, I forgot.
In the sequel?
To Nemo's father, Albert Brooks. He enlists Dory's help to find his child. Dory's a regal tang? You know what a regal tang is?
Yes.
Because you're an aquatics expert. An amateur expert.
I don't believe she's a regal tang, though.
Oh, that's what I read.
I don't think that's correct, though.
Oh, okay.
She has a tang, but I thought she was like a simple blue tang.
Okay, I read Regal, but I only know what I read.
Perhaps, maybe I'm wrong.
I'm going with you. She has short-term memory problems. There have been an odd couple. Marlin is understandably nervous and high-strung after his entire family was eaten by a barracuda.
Albert Brooks.
And Dory, who doesn't seem to get too worked up about anything, just keeps swimming, she says.
Dory's the best. She has no other choice but to live in the moment.
And you know what I love about Dory? She gets to live out the dream of all sidekicks. Starring in Finding Dory, 2016.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Finding Dory.
Is this straight to video shit?
No, then Ellen announced it on her show, so it's going to be
Is it Pixar?
I assume so.
What?
Really?
Finding Dory.
Finding Dory.
I'm in for that shit. Finding Nemo is a great
She could be
movie.
Like searching for herself the entire
Finding Dory is off. Finding Nemo is awesome.
Okay. Number five. This one could be considered controversial a little bit.
Let's hear it.
I can guarantee you that this movie's never been on my list, any list.
I don't think I got Nemo in my lists.
In his feature film debut, Brian,
Sean William Scott.
That's what I said.
Sorry, I thought you said John.
Sean William Scott plays a little character named Steve Stifler.
Yes, he does.
In the 1999 American Pie feature film directorial debut of Paul and Chris Weitz as well.
He might be capable of other things, but he cemented himself as Stifler.
That's why he cracked, because I got a huge list in my also-rans.
This is a good choice.
It was an inspired topic, and it brought a lot to the table, and he made the list because this was his first film. Still, whenever you see him, you're going to say, hey, it's Stifler. Like, that character is so ingrained because he does such a good job at embodying that character. I was reading some of the quotes today.
He'll always
today.
Be Stifler, Screech is always Screech.
Right, well, but in a better way.
In a much better way.
Yeah, that guy's the worst.
Is he a sidekick, though? Because he seemed like the leader of the party.
That's why it's somewhat of a, possibly. See, I got a tie later on, though, so I got six choices, so
you know what?
Kick this off the list.
I don't think I want to see a movie about Stifler. I like him sprinkled in. I like him to break up the monotony.
A sidekick, Logs, in the sense that he was on the peripheral of the main cast members. He was always popping up here and there.
I have criteria for, actually, we talked about criteria for sidekicks.
But he wasn't a traditional sidekick in the sense that, like, you know, there's a main character and a, but I
will say that all of my sidekicks.
Are you going to allow it? Stifler?
I will, only because it's a great character. He's a great character.
And he is, I mean, you forget, because it's American Pie. It's you know, it's a number of years ago now, and it's become like other things.
So many spin-offs,
but
so many American
his
Pies.
His character was fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. But made the
funny,
movie.
Funny, yeah.
He's the only one you quoted. Yeah, it was all good. Okay, here's my criteria.
You're the only non-virgin
of.
In the group.
My only criteria that I thought of for sidekicks, and I think he violates a lot of this stuff. Number one, is there a clear hierarchy? Is there clearly a number one? And
he's kind of the number one.
As Kermit, or who's the evil Kermit would say, you're number two? Mm-hmm. You're number two. What was that?
I don't know Muppet shit.
No, you love the bad Muppet, the Muppet with the dot.
I did kind of like him.
You did like
him. He was pretty.
You're
good.
Number two. I'm number one. Can they sing that song? Is the sidekick a good alternative?
All right, he's off the list then. I'll do my number five.
He's good for this though. The sidekick's a good alternative to the main character. Jason Biggs kind of boring, and Stifler fun, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
He's the yin to the yang.
Biggs had three other friends to act as a sidekick.
He was like the way I approached this was Stifler is he was kind of like the sidekick to that group. He was like on the peripheral.
I get that. If the group is the protagonist, then yes.
There's so many on the list, though, for me to put one on that's not even a... Now, I also got a sidekick or two coming up later that were kind of like an unwanted sidekick.
Oh, okay. That'll work. Could the main character succeed in their journey or mission without the sidekick? Like, are they crucial to what they're trying to accomplish?
Well, did he help them fuck the pie?
No. Could an entire movie be made about the sidekick's life? Yes, absolutely, in this case.
Stiffy.
All right. I'll allow it. That's a great character.
You sure?
Yeah. What I want to know what your alternate is, though.
What's that?
I do want to know what your alternate is.
Okay, well then, you know, here we go. Number five for me.
What?
Little Pixar movie, Brian.
Oh, not Nemo, not Demo, not Demo. Dory. I'm tired, everyone.
The Incredibles. Talking about Jason Lee, his buddy! And later Syndrome. In The Incredibles. You sly dog, you got me monologuing. Great line.
You know what? Between these two choices, you have one good sidekick.
No, he's a sidekick.
He's the... I can't say what he is, but you know what he is.
Most people have seen this movie. If you haven't, but settle there. What does he do in the movie? He's a sidekick. He's a self-imposed sidekick.
For literally the first third of the movie, he's a sidekick.
Yeah. Well, that's a sidekick. Okay. He's great, too. He's fan-fuck-tastic.
So he's a short-term sidekick.
Whatever.
Okay.
Does it have to be full-time sidekick?
For all mine are.
Jason Lee, who we need to see more of Jason Lee.
I agree.
Scientologists are not clear or not. You need to see more Jason Lee in your movies.
Bring him around.
I need to see him more in my local multiplex. He recorded his vocals for The Incredibles in four short days, Brian.
Really?
Short days when you consider that Craig T. Nelson recorded his vocals over the span of 2 years.
Craig T. Nelson, the dad?
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
Syndrome. Is said to be somewhat modeled, Syndrome/Buddy, it was said to be somewhat modeled after Brad Bird, Brian, famed Brad Bird.
The actual director.
The director of the film, most notably his facial features. This was a nod from the designers, the creators of The Incredibles, because he was such a taskmaster throughout this entire process of making The Incredibles. He kept having everyone reach down and get even more creative than they ever been, and I think it shows, because that movie is...
I was going to say.
One of my favorite... We could do a top five Pixars, and that's going to be top three.
Next week, top five animated.
We've done that.
Top five recent animated.
yes. So anyways, I'm going with Buddy.
Good choice.
I think it's a fine choice. Stepler. I think it's fine choice. Jason Lee, I miss him. He called me up once. I think
number four. Oh, Jason Lee called you up?
Out of the blue, yeah.
Why?
Because a friend of mine was his assistant, and he knew that I had like one of his old skate shirts.
Oh, he's a skater.
He used to be
he was actually number one.
He was a professional skater
turned actor.
And I had one of his shirts, and I answered the phone. I was actually at the Irvine Improv doing some shit, and I answered the phone. And it was Jason Lee, who I was a massive fan of at the time. And he's like, "This is Jason Lee, and I want my shirt back." I'm like, this is an awkward conversation.
I'm a big fan of yours, but no. Number four for me.
He never got it back.
From the movie Tombstone.
Huckle?
I do not consider Doc Holliday to be a sidekick.
Okay, well then why is he on your list?
But Johnny fucking Ringo. Johnny Ringo's a sidekick.
Tell me more.
I will tell you more. Played by Michael Biehn. Sniff.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, yeah. Do this so I can see it. So some people make Doc Holliday's their favorite sidekick from this movie, but to me, so Holliday's his own man. Holliday is he's a legend of the Old West, and Johnny Ringo's the mysterious, the almost misplaced member of the Cowboys, Anderson. He's a member of the gang. He's the second in command to Curly Bill, and seemingly the only member of the gang that Curly Bill actually respects. He kind of slaps the guys around and roughs them up and doesn't really respect them, but right. Johnny Ringo, mm-hmm. he commands respect. He's an educated man. He speaks multiple languages. We see him speaking English, Spanish, and Latin, just from what we can see.
Uh-huh.
He knows Bible verses by heart. He quotes the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He's a cold-blooded killer, Anderson. He doesn't hesitate to shoot a priest right between the eyes.
Right between the eyes.
Fucking shoots a priest. Priest!
He's going straight to hell.
That's right. He's also skilled with a pistol, as you can see in the opening scene when he shoots him, and in the little twirly-whirly scene with Doc Holliday. He's a great companion to Doc Holliday. I don't necessarily disagree with the idea of Doc Holliday as a sidekick. I just don't That's not what I think of when I think of as a sidekick. That Doc Holliday is a star in another movie who happens to be doing a cameo or a guest starring role in this movie, in my mind.
You know, Wyatt Earp, this was like Wyatt Earp's bitch, this movie, Tombstone, when they were making the two of them at the same time. And they were competing over like the same resources. Wardrobe was a huge issue because they were going after the same wardrobe. Wyatt Earp ended up winning. And it's funny because
no one remembers.
People don't talk much about Wyatt Earp these days. Mm. You still hear a whole shit ton about the old Tombstone over there.
Yeah, it comes up from time to time on this show, mostly because of me. But Johnny Ringo, that's exactly what a sidekick is. He brings something new to the mix. He's the alternative to Curly Bill. Curly Bill can't do what Curly Bill wants to do without him. He's a perfect sidekick.
Curly Bill.
Powers Booth.
It's been years since I've seen that movie.
Really?
Don't get any ideas and try and be cute.
Write
that
down on the list.
Tombstone. Number three for me. This is my
you're three already?
A four.
You're a four, buddy.
Because I'm screwed all up. Yeah. But this was the tie, but fuck it. I'm just going to go two separate categories. Number four for me. Tara Lynn Barr as Roxy. Sidekick to Frank.
I guess she is kind of a sidekick, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Sidekick to Frank.
Good call.
And God Bless America. Bobcat Goldthwait's God Bless America 2011. This, if you have not...
I don't think it's anybody else seen this. So,
I will punch you in the mouth if you don't shut it.
I'm supporting you.
Well, how about you do it in between breaths? Or what did you say? Because no one heard anything. It all sounded like Chinese.
I don't think a ton of people have seen this, so go slowly and explain where they can see it, what it's all about.
You may see God Bless America as it streams now on both Fuckflix as well as Amazon Instant for Prime members. Mm. So enjoy this little nasty piece of filmmaking from...
dark comedy.
Bobcat Goldthwait. He still does stand-up. One of my favorites. He's a past guest of the show as well.
True.
And Tara Lynn Barr, you might hear her quite a bit on The After Disaster. She was very good friends with Mike Carano. I hesitated putting her on the list, and I really went back and forth in my head and really asked myself the question, would she be on the list if I didn't know her? There have been other people that I've left off lists because it feels like suckling.
Right.
Let me tell you this. I saw the screening of this movie for the cast and crew because Carano was the still photographer on the movie, and it was a thrill. I actually sat like almost next to Bobcat Goldthwait and watched this whole thing with the cast and crew. So it was a great. Whenever you do that, you see movies sometimes with cast and crew, and they're going to enjoy it more.
Yeah,
than,
of course.
The wife leans over to me about 10 minutes into the movie, and she asks if I wrote the movie, like jokingly. But this is an Anderson movie through and through.
Anderson sensibilities.
And it's Joel Murray plays the lead character. He finds out that he's terminally ill early on, and he wants to take vengeance on all
society,
the things that he hates in society, most notably pop culture. And along the way, early on, he meets a very innocent looking high school girl who shares his disgust and disdain for said society, and she latches on kind of against his will at first, but she ends up just becoming his sidekick and their killing spree. And
did
it's
we do
a dark
five?
Comedy.
Did we do Top 5 Odd Couples?
No.
We should.
We could.
This would be a good candidate.
I learned actually recently, just doing some research today, that this is not only thought of as being inspired by another movie, but it's actually now being considered a remake of a British film from the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Called Parting Shots.
Okay.
Which is not available anywhere.
Well, don't look for it.
But yes, God Bless America. This is a really fun little independent movie. What independent movie should look like and feel like? I don't like it as much as World's Greatest Dad. That's my favorite Bobcat movie still to date. But God Bless America.
It offers something very different. That's a very quiet movie and a very sort of sad.
World's Greatest Dad?
Yeah, but a very
sad.
That
kid is one of the filthiest kids you'll ever.
I know, but it's sadly funny, and this
poignant,
one's more
beautiful,
in your face. It's different flavors.
It's cathartic in many ways. It's a little preachy at times, Bob. You know that, but for the most part, it's cathartic and enjoyable, and it's a good stress reliever because they take out a lot of the things that many of us hate in society that are thrust down our gullet.
Did you tell Tara that you loved her performance? She was top five sidekick?
Well, I was on the set for this
top
one, too, and I met her on there. She does not know she's on the list, and if she's on the After Disaster this week, I will tell her and make her uncomfortable, I'm sure. But yeah, I was real careful not to... I went back and forth quite a bit, but no, she's deserved. If I had never met Bobcat or Mike Carano or Tara, and I saw this movie, which I would have because I'm a massive fan of Bobcat Goldthwait, I love this movie, I love that character, and she would be on the list.
All right.
I'm fairly confident.
I did not knowingly put her on the list.
Number three for me.
I did not. Why did he have to blink so hard, that Robert Durst?
He's twitchy. He's blinky.
Oh, he blinks. So at the end of each sentence, he like blinks like he's trying to squeeze tears out.
Doesn't it feel like he blinks the more he lies?
Perhaps.
Or when you sense he's lying?
The jinx. For those of you who saw it, you're going to probably appreciate this. And for those of you who not, it's not going to give anything away. Where there's like a restraining order thing. And like they're out in front of his brothers.
Right.
And there's surveillance video clearly showing him walking up.
Limping up.
Limping up the stoop. When the filmmakers are nowhere to be found. He's doing this on his own because he's a creepy, weird man, right? And then he calls up the film director. He's like, yes, they have some issues with the restraining order because they say that I was very close to the house that day with you. Liar! We all saw you on the surveillance! That was so funny to me.
Yeah,
he
has a way of brushing aside issues
truth.
With the law. Yeah, truth, exactly.
Truth. Who can be bothered with truth? Robert Durst. Oh, that guy.
He's a great character.
Rich people are just fucking creepy, man. People that are born into wealth, creepy. Some crossover with Foxcatcher dude here.
I was going to say, I thought a lot about DuPont, the whole DuPont scandal, the way it went down.
Sorry for that brief aside.
That was funny.
I apologize.
Number three for me. Hey, remember that sound you made at the beginning of the list?
Don't make me do it again and then say it's not that.
Do it one more time. Chewbacca. Number three. That's it.
I don't like doing that.
Okay. Chewbacca is my number three. Chewbacca. Chewy.
Great. Fantastic.
Peter
Moving
Mayhew,
on.
Star Wars. According to Wikipedia. Wikipedia.
Wasn't there some kind of bad blood there?
With what?
I think him and Lucas.
Peter Mayhew?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea.
Very tall man, right? He's a very dead man now?
I don't think he was in any of the movies of the prequels. I think they digitized the third one. He certainly wasn't in the first two.
I don't think they credited him or something. There's some kind of... all the Star Wars
kids. Well, they redubbed his voice, obviously. Hold on.
Did you just do that on purpose?
What?
It sounded like... It sounded like the score for Star Wars. All right, never mind.
No, I did not. According to Wikipedia, Chewbacca, or Chewie as he's known to his friends, he became Han Solo's companion, Anderson, when Solo, then a lieutenant in the Imperial Army, he saved Chewbacca from death aboard a slave ship. Chewie then swore a life debt to him and became his friend and business partner. He's sort of Han Solo's enforcer. He's like, he's the muscle, but he's also quite smart. He's the Millennium Falcon's engineer, so he's not just a big grease monkey. Well, he can fix a spaceship. That's pretty smart. Fun fact, he stands 8 feet tall. He understands English, a.k.a. basic, in Star Wars universe. They call it basic. They don't call it English because there's no England. But he cannot speak it due to a Wookiee's vocal cord structure. And his home planet is called Kashyyyk. Kashyyyk. And that's three consecutive Ys in Kashyyyk. K-A-S-H-Y-Y-Y-K.
Fantastic.
Kashyyyk.
Doesn't he live in the trees with his family?
That's fucking racist. Those are Ewoks, Anderson. They're different people. Actually, he does kind of live in the trees.
Yes, right. Yes, I saw that Christmas fucking movie, and it was brutal.
Star Wars Christmas special?
Yes.
I actually never saw that. It's a legend by the time I came around.
Awful.
Hmm.
Okay.
Wikipedia.
I'm glad that you enjoy the Wikipedia pun so much.
It's so great.
Do you think some stoner Star Wars fans were just sitting around kids and then they're like, oh, instead of Wiki, Wookie, and then they created it because they came up with a name?
I'm guessing that's where it came from.
Or do you think they came up with a bunch of information and they needed a name? What came first?
The name of the
Wookie or the Wiki? Number, help me here, three?
Three.
Number three for me. I can't believe I'm saying this because this woman bothers me. Ellen Page. She bothers me.
Hmm.
But as Bolty, sidekick to the Crimson Bolt in James Gunn's 2010 Super, Brian, Super.
I never saw Super.
Oh. Written and directed by James Gunn.
I saw Special, which was supposedly ripped off.
I saw Special, too.
Is this the Rainn Wilson?
I'm going to pick Super.
Is this the Rainn Wilson movie?
Yeah.
I never saw this one.
Rainn Wilson. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You can, because it's streaming.
Really?
It's the streaming on the old fuck flicks over there. She's a clerk at a comic book store, Brian. And this man, he's down on his luck. Liv Taylor, his wife.
Liv Tyler?
Liv Tyler, thank you. Liv Taylor? Liv Tyler. She left him. She's with a very obnoxious man played by Kevin Bacon. Hilariously. And this guy's kind of just like, fuck it. And much like Kick-Ass, He decides to become a real true life superhero. Mm. Hangs out at the comic book store a lot with another anti-social miscast played by, what's her fucking
Ellen
name?
Page.
Ellen Page. And she also, much like Buddy, kind of like forces herself, much like Tara. Where are all my notes?
She gloms on.
Tara as Roxy, she kind of gloms on, but she takes it to a different, like a next level shit. Gets really into it, and it works. It works. And this movie's funny because James Gunn's got a very unique style, and he makes movies for himself, and he's got a very unique, distinct voice. And this movie is dark and violent and kind of hits you over the head a few times. We're like, fuck, I thought I was watching like a fun little comedy.
Right.
This actually, he originally wanted John C. Reilly to play the lead character, but he used to be married to Jenna Fisher.
Right.
On The Office.
And they know each other from The Office.
Yeah, so she actually brought the idea, because she knew all about the script, because she's married to him, to
Rainn Wilson.
Rainn Wilson, thank you.
Easy, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting all the lost of it.
This is your movie.
I know, I loved it.
Which I've not seen.
I don't love Super. Super's a solid four-star movie. It's definitely worth watching. It's streaming, so why the fuck not?
Have you seen and Special?
I've seen Special. I didn't like Special as much as this. I
haven't seen this one, so I can't say.
I do love him. Why has he never been on the show?
No. Rappaport?
Yeah, Rappaport.
He's a tough guy to nail. Well, he's in New York, number one.
Well, you know, he's out here a lot.
Yeah, but he lives in New York, and, and it's a hard nail.
Michael Rappaport needs to be on this
program. We do the show at midnight.
He needs to be on this program. He needs to be on this program. He'd be great on this program.
It's currently 1:41 p.m.
I would love to argue with him about movies.
Really?
Oh, he's so good.
He can talk. He's a talker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of my favorite things I've ever heard in my ear holes is him on Bill Burr's podcast. Talking about how he doesn't pick up his dog shit. Oh, it's so great.
Him on Stern back in the day was great, too.
He's so great. Fucking Rappaport. Yeah, his movie was a little creepier and sadder. This one is dark.
That was Special is pretty stark.
It's more stark than this one.
Super.
Special is stark.
No, but you're talking about
Super. I'm talking about Super. Check it out. It's streaming on Fuckflix.
Ellen Especially, Page. Number three. That's your third sidekick?
She's great. She's fantastic.
Oh, interesting.
I think.
She must
especially,
be.
Especially with everyone loving the galaxies, the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, go back and see like you know some of his lower budgeted earlier work.
Yeah.
James Gunn. I never saw Slither.
Yeah.
I should see that one day. Oh, wait, did I see it?
You
Maybe
tell me.
I did. Maybe I did.
Coming up next.
Did I see Slither? No, I saw Teeth.
Oh, yeah. Teeth was on HBO tonight.
Was it?
Oh, I started to watch, I watched about half hour of Reds. And I was like, there's three more hours of this? Have you seen Reds?
No.
You have not seen Reds?
No, Brian, I'm not seen Reds. No, I will not have to.
3.5 hour film by Warren Beatty about 1920s Russia.
Why are you fucking with me, Brian? I got some in the chamber.
It won one Best Director at the Oscar, nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make it see it because I tuned out it for 30 minutes. Coming up next, more sidekicks. Anderson, baseball season is almost here. Actually, no, it was just a spring training a couple of weeks ago.
Curry, and I hear it preempting my favorite radio programs on a daily basis.
Wasn't the best?
No.
There's never been a better time to check out DraftKings.com, America's favorite daily fantasy baseball site. You can win huge cash prizes every day. It's the best part about fantasy baseball is not having to deal with. I did it once, like a season long thing. Mm-hmm. It's the worst.
Yeah, because you get a guy that's injured. You're out of luck.
You gotta log in. You gotta like manage your pitcher's innings. You gotta log in and like set your lineup every day. And you gotta check the. Who needs it? Daily fantasy is the way to go with baseball. That's the only way I'll ever do baseball again. And if you heard it at DraftKings.com now, use code TFV. Play for free in the $100,000 fantasy baseball contest on opening day. First place takes home 10 grand. Enter TFV for free entry now, DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
I'm Matt Rather from the Overthinking It podcast, now at podcast1.com. On Overthinking It, your smart, funny friends from the internet talk about, well, does it really make economic sense for the Death Star to blow up Alderaan?
As Grand Moff Tarkin, you gotta ask yourself, is it a debtor planet or is it a creditor planet?
The problem with blackmail is, like, you really need to come in and talk to Bail Organa and say, like, you know, this is a nice planet you've got here. It'd be a shame if someone were to shoot a giant laser into the core and explode it.
Overthinking It. Download it now at podcast1.com.
Yep. Welcome back. Thanks again, featured artists, and also to Jim M., who did our featured art, our fan art this week. If you guys want to make some artwork and send it to us, we're always down, andersonandbrian.com. It's where you send it. You can also tweet it to us, I suppose, or Facebook it. The Film Fault on both. We're easy to find. Anderson?
Tis true.
We got to power through this. We've got to get in here.
You know what? I would have had Roxy, Tara Lynn Barr, probably number three, but I didn't want to put her up too high because, like, I know her.
God forbid you look like you're complimenting someone.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Sounds horrible.
Feel uncomfortable.
Number two, for me. The outlier of the group. Sorry, something in my mouth. The outlier of the group of my sidekicks.
I'm going to fill your gap.
Okay.
With something. I saw a trailer just today.
Let's hear it.
And it's rated PG-13, and here's the reason. Some mild thematic elements.
That's the reason.
Yeah. That was the only reason why it was PG-13.
Do you remember what it was?
Something I'll never see. I can't remember. Something that looked very dull. But what the F? Some mild thematic elements. How vague can you be? I don't think your 13-year-old child should watch this. Your 12-year-old child should watch this until next year because of some mild thematic elements.
There's some thematic elements in it. Well, are they severe? No, they're mild. Are they moderate? No, they're mild.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
My number two is Cameron Frye. Played by Alec Ruck.
Good one,
Ruck.
Solid one on my also-ran.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It's just I feel like we do too much Ferris, I do too much Ferris on this here program, so I left it off.
I heard they were talking about Ferris Bueller.
Cameron is a fantastic, great sight.
Now, you know my thoughts on Ferris Bueller, right, which is Cameron actually the main character.
A lot of people say that.
That's a very insightful observation.
Would-be intellectuals is what I call those people.
Yeah, but if you go by the textbook definition of your main character, the character who goes through the growth, the character who experiences an arc, starts off as one person, ends up as another, Ferris Bueller will always be Ferris Bueller. And that's a good thing because I imagine his life will be quite easy for him. He's popular, things go well for him, people like him.
The important thing of a main character as opposed
name
to...
Name the title.
Name, title. Also, in most all scenes...
Talks to the first character you see, the last character you see. Mm-hmm. Talks to the audience.
The one who has the most strife going on.
Yeah, I'm with you. I certainly would call him the main character.
Maybe the level of strife isn't quite as intense, but... He
has no strife.
No, he's Rooney. A lot of strife with the Rooney. Mm. He's always trying to beat that Rooney home.
But he's never in any danger.
Oh, he's in danger of being caught for stitching.
Rooney's incompetent. And it's funny what happens to him. But, Cameron, man.
Good choice.
What else do I have here?
I think that wraps it up.
Keep going. Oh, I imagine in 20 years, the movie version is Ferris Bueller playing sidekick to him. You know what I mean? Cameron's the guy who's going to grow. He's going to grow and grow, become his own man.
See, has he been in anything in a long
time? Alan Ruck? Yeah. He was in Speed. He was one of the bus passengers.
Okay, that was a long time ago. I remember him in Speed, yes. So he freaked out?
He was like a very, he was very agitated.
Was he like meth head?
No, but he was very buttoned up, but he was very agitated.
Number two for me, Brian. This is a good one. Also, brought up, all right, let me just get to it. Philippe Haggenson as Benny, sidekick to Little Dice, also known as Lil Z, in City of God,
yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, good call.
City of God, number 21 on IMDb's all-time list is City of God. And if you have not seen City of God, you're in luck, because it's on the old Fuckflix as well as Amazon. You can stream it either place.
Great movie. Let me ask you a question about this. How did you come up with this? Because whenever I did a lot of research and you Google best sidekicks and they never say anything like City of God, and did you just think of it or did you like
key
go
search.
Back through your...
Sidekick is the key word on IMDb. They had like 1,021 titles.
Yeah, a lot.
Goddamn, being OCD sucks when you come across stuff like that. Every single one I did. A lot of them I never seen or just thought it was bad choices, but as soon as I saw City of God. Because, all right, if you have not seen City of God... Be aware, it is highly rated, critically acclaimed, but exceptionally raw, visceral, and violent.
Yep.
I mean, it is a violent, violent place, but the movie is made in such a way that you can stomach it, but you're going to see some really edgy shit.
It's a Brazilian epic Goodfellas, but much, much more poor. Much poorer.
But this character, Benny, that I talk about, who is the sidekick to this Little Dice, or who becomes known as Little Z, they're all drug dealers. They're all bad. They're all drug dealers. But Benny is like the one guy who's got some art in him, who's got some like hope in him. Like he's into like style, and he's a good fun lover. You can tell he's got a good heart, whereas he's surrounded by these thugs that'll kill your mom for a buck, as the old cliche says. Now, this movie also, in researching it and watching some scenes, it occurred to me this chase scene that opens the film with the chicken definitely was deserving of being on the top five non-vehicular chase scenes that we did a few weeks ago. This is a great chase scene. This is fantastic.
I forgot about it.
Remember all those crazy fucking dudes chasing after the chicken that got away? Great open to a movie.
I forgot about that.
Just a really fun, just really well-made.
It's a really good movie.
Good movie. Raw, visceral, and just you see kids doing things that you shouldn't be seeing kids doing. Not sexual stuff with guns. It's crazy. But one of the choices that one of the characters has to make, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, is this going to actually happen? Oh, it's edgier.
Yeah, there's some gruesome stuff.
Yes, Wiki describes him as Z's longtime partner in crime. Is he
the photographer?
No. He is a friendly City of God drug dealer who fancies himself a sort of Robin Hood, wants to eventually lead an honest life. The film was not actually shot in Ciudad de Zeus, slum, which the actual City of God slum, which is a real place, as it was too dangerous. Brian,
this is in Brazil, right?
It was shot in a neighboring less dangerous area. Yes, shot in Brazil, and this was it was up for a number of awards. It was funny because it was up the year before they tried. It was Brazil's official selection as the best foreign language film. And they submitted it like in 2001, and it didn't get in. It wasn't one of the five to be nominated for best foreign language films. As a result of it not getting in, it was once it got released and had such great huge critical acclaim, it was submitted the following year, and it was up for like three or four different awards, which that would not have been eligible for, because it would have been in the year before, obviously. Right. So a funny little twist there, but fantastic movie. I was reading some of the posts on IMDb just today, actually, and there is some backlash. A lot of people going, why is it so highly rated? So like, be careful going in. Like, it's not
a crowd pleasing movie.
It's not like a Chappie Change Your Life movie. I swear to God, Chappie changed my life. I'm telling you. But City of God, I'm jealous of you if you've not seen this. Go in and enjoy. I mean, you can tell just from the opening scene that you're going to be in for a treat. The opening scene is fantastic. Go ahead.
Number one for me. Wouldn't it be great if you had the same number one? Is there any chance?
I guess there is a chance, but it doesn't happen often.
It's very unlikely. I'm very inspired by number one, though.
Well, why don't you tell me what it is? Is it Lois Lane?
Lois Lane.
I mean, dumbest thing you've ever said. From Spider-Man.
One, yeah, whatever.
Brian, come on.
Number one, it's a bald man.
Yeah. Is that why you picked him?
Stanley Tucci as Nigel from The Devil Wears Prada. That is the film that I saw. I recorded it on HBO.
He's your number one and you just saw it?
No. I've seen it many times, but I was trying to watch this one specific scene that I couldn't track down on YouTube. So I recorded it on HBO and went to watch it last night for the one specific scene. Ended up watching the whole goddamn movie. That's the third film on the Flick Fest. Goddamn, that's a great movie. Directed by David Frankel from 2006. Stanley Tucci. He's the sidekick to Miranda Priestley, played by Meryl Streep. He sits across the head of the table from her. He gets the number two position, the other head of the table. He introduces her as a keynote speaker. He sits next to her in the front row at the Paris Fashion Week. Paris Fashion Week, he's fucking front row.
Because
he works for Runway Magazine.
Is that good?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know.
And when he gets passed over at the end for the big promotion, what does he do? He smiles, he applauds, and he reassures himself, Anderson.
Right, settle down.
When the time is right, she'll repay me.
Okay, well, let's not give away.
But this is important to his character. This is crucial to his character. Tucci was only cast 3 days before shooting started, Anderson. Mm-hmm. He played the character as gay, but it wasn't swishy or fabulous. He actually never addressed the fact that he's gay.
He's straight gay.
Yeah, but he's gay.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, this is one that inspired, I really want to do top five makeover scenes, because there's, you know, the great makeover scenes, and, you know, there's corny ones, but there's also great ones. There's a great one in this movie.
A scene where someone gets made over?
A great makeover scene.
What? You want to do a top five where we're just going, and then she got her hair blowing out? It was a Brazilian blow. It was great. It was really fantastic.
It doesn't have to be girls. It doesn't have to be cutesy. It can be make-unders.
I've never seen The Devil Wears Prada.
You fucking lie.
I swear to God. I saw the porn, The Devil Wears Nada.
You've never seen Devil Wears Prada?
Well, it does not look like a movie made for me.
Meryl Streep nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
It looks like a movie about fashion
you're
that I don't want to see.
I'm blowing a gasket.
Number
this
one
is such a great movie. This is such a great movie.
Number one.
Fucking Tucci.
Settle. Calm it. Relax. Number one for me. Here is the here's the right answer, Brian. Here's the correct answer.
Is it Tucci?
The word fuck, Brian, and his other tenses are used 321 times in this movie for an average of 2.04 per minute. That's fuck. Two of them for every 2.04 minutes.
Wizard of Oz.
About half of them are all said by this character. Talking about Joe Pesci. That's Tommy DeVito. 1991's Goodfellas. How can you get a better sidekick?
You really can't.
How can you get a better sidekick?
It's pretty great.
He's great. He's the best. So fantastic. Joe Pesci's Oscar acceptance speech. No fucks in it. It's the sixth shortest in the Academy's history. Now, because it's Goodfellas gets plenty of love everywhere it goes. I mean, you know, Goodfellas. Yes, it's not as good as Dances with Wolves.
Right.
Which won the Academy Award.
Yeah, well, the Academy said so. Yeah. But
Goodfellas, a lot of people like it. So I did a little research, some little fun facts, all right? But Tommy, holy shit. Great fucking sidekick. If every movie had a solid sidekick as solid as Tommy, every movie would be good. You Think I'm Funny scene, Brian, was based on a true story that Joe Pesci acted out for Scorsese. Mm. And Scorsese's like, hey, you know what? You should do that in a scene. And he and Leota knew about it, knew it was coming, but the rest of the people at the table, if you remember, it was a crowded table, they had no idea what was happening there. Mm. So when he actually did that, do you think I'm funny? What's so fucking... And actually, it actually happened.
It got awkward.
Pesci saw it. While working in a restaurant as a young man, Pesci actually once told a mobster that he was funny, and the mobster became very angry. So he allowed Leota and Pesci to improvise that scene. And he did not tell the other actors. Tommy DeSimone is the character that he's actually playing. The
real life guy.
DeSimone. The character Tommy DeVito was a nod to a band called the Four Seasons, which was had a bunch of mob connections. And there's a bass. I think the bass player's name was Tommy DeVito.
Okay. So,
but he was actually playing a character named Tommy DeSimone, who was apparently almost exactly like Pesci's character.
Wow.
Like 90% to 99% is what people who knew him said, except the one big difference was the character that he was actually playing was that hulking man. He was like 6'8 or something. Huge. And Tommy.
A little guy.
Pesci, little dude. But everything else. Now, last week, I blew my mouth off. I was shooting my mouth off talking about how that Roadhead movie, like it should be like, you know, movie executives should use it as like a beacon of hope and say like, this is what happens when, you know, you don't have us execs in charge.
That's your opinion.
That's, yeah. But all that gets washed away, and immediately in reading about Goodfellas, and I realized just how little fucking movie execs know. My parting words in talking about Goodfellas, Tommy DeVito being my number one sidekick of all time and in cinema history, according to me. But those movie execs, they wanted the producers of this film, of Goodfellas, wanted Tom Cruise and Madonna to play Ray Liotta and Lorraine Bracco.
Tom Cruise and Madonna.
Can you imagine Goodfellas
with
Hank Hill and Karen being played
by
Tom Cruise and Madonna? I mean, can you imagine? Can you just the entire face of cinema would be different.
You should shudder at that thought.
I'm shuddering. I'm literally shuddering right now.
It would not have won Best Picture that year.
It might have.
That's actually
can you imagine they're like, it's been on that costume, piece of shit. That Tom Cruise really put in a
hell of a performance.
Marquee performance. I mean, can you imagine the alternate universe we'd be living in right now if that occurred? Like,
wow.
I don't know if I'd be sitting. I don't think I'd be sitting here. I honestly don't think I would be.
Really?
Because Goodfellas is really what put me over the edge and made me like just a crazy. And before that, Platoon. But then when Goodfellas came out, that's when like I started watching every single Robert De Niro movie, like a scientist, going back to like the beginning and watching them, and then watching all the Scorsese.
Examining.
That's where like it was Goodfellas.
Really?
I love Platoon as a movie, but I didn't really love cinema until Goodfellas. That was where like, oh my god, he made another movie that's similar to like Taxi Driver. Holy shit, must own. Yeah, but if it was Tom Cruise and Madonna,
wow.
Oh my god. All right, let's get out of here.
I want to hear the listener top five, please.
Tommy,
number five.
Go get your shine.
Oh,
wait, box.
Do you also ran the listener top five first.
Listener top five first. Don't want to step on them.
That's right.
Number five, Wilson from Castaway.
Oh, you know, he's on my also rans, but just did an inanimate object. He was on there.
Number four, Garth from Wayne's World.
Yeah, good call.
Nope.
I mean, no.
Nope.
Number three, Walter from The Big Lebowski.
Oh, so good. I wanted to, but I couldn't.
So number, far, no crossover with us.
Number two, Hit Girl from Kick-Ass.
Yeah, she is a...
Has there ever been a time they have a completely different top five than both of us?
Yeah, usually we have at least one. All right, what's number one?
Well, it would be this one, except if it wasn't for your number one sidekick voted on by our listeners, and that's Chewbacca from Star Wars.
Wow. Way to go, Brian!
Fucked it up!
Fuck it up!
I kept it going, you mean? So many also-rans.
I got Jay. A lot of people would say no. He is not the sidekick. Silent Bob is the sidekick.
Silent
but
Bob.
I like Jay.
Silent Bob.
If they're...
Who's Jay a sidekick to?
He's a sidekick to Silent Bob.
Oh.
Silent Bob's the writer-director.
And he's also the smart one.
I got Ellis Boyd Redding as Red from Shawshank.
Yeah.
Not bad, huh? I got Walter, which was said. Cameron, which you said. Gromit from Wallace and Gromit, Brian.
Interesting. I thought you were going to say Groot.
No.
Groot.
Mallory from Natural Born Killers. Sebastian from Little Mermaid. I love that little fucker. Dory, which you got. Bubba from Forrest Gump. Wilson from Castaway, which was already said. Manny in Scarface. He was a fun sidekick. I like that guy.
Yes.
Fucking Tony's sister. Tuco from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Gertie from Moon, Brian. Ed from Shaun of the Dead.
Is Gertie the computer?
Robot, yes.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Spacey, yes. Warren Clark as Dim in Clockwork Orange.
That's right.
Fantastic psychic over there. Bobby from Deliverance. He's got a pretty mouth. Mr. Jingles from Green Mile, but we just did Animals not too long ago. Doug, the dog from Up. Could be on there.
Yeah.
Dog Day Afternoon. What's his name?
Kazale.
Kazale, yes. He's and then, yeah.
How about Groot? Guardians of the Galaxy. Ben Affleck from Good Will Hunting is a great sidekick.
Negator.
Nordberg from The Naked Gun. Anthony Edwards, Goose of Top Gun. I'm surprised they didn't make the list or top five. I really thought that would have. Logan must have got some votes, right? Goose, Top Gun?
I think maybe one or two.
Wow. Grover Dill, the little toady from Christmas Story. The Fat Manager from Love Actually. That's Bill Nighy's sidekick. Raoul Duke for In Loathing. Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. Mini-Me from Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm.
Donkey from Shrek.
No.
Ned Beatty from Superman.
Ooh.
Otto.
Mm-hmm.
Starscream from Transformers. Jonah Hill from Wolf of Wall Street. Barry from High Fidelity. Jack
Jonah
Black
Hill from Wolf of Wall Street. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And what was your last one?
Barry, played by Jack Black from High Fidelity.
Yeah.
Didn't make a top five. Didn't make.
All right, what are we gambling on? What did we gamble on last week? What are we doing?
Last week you gambled on Insurgent. At the time, there was 42 reviews with a Rotten Tomato score of 31%. Anderson bid 41, Brian 30. Currently, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomato score for Insurgent has not changed. It is at 31%, making Brian the winner.
That's really dumb.
Did I get it right on?
I hate everything.
No, you were off by one.
We need to come up with a new segment.
I was ready to assign All Good Things, but you haven't seen the fucking Devil Wears Prada.
No one needs to see that, Brian.
That's a really good movie.
It is really.
Yes, it's a really good movie.
Really,
it's nominated for at least one Oscar, and possibly more.
It doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's at least a sign that there is some quality there, and I think it's really good.
All right, I'll watch The Devil. Where can I see it? Is it streaming somewhere? Is it?
Why don't I just go with All Good Things and say Devil Wears Prada?
Whatever. Just to assign me the movie. We got to get out. We gotta go. Brian, it's not a hard choice. I'll watch them both. Let's go.
All right. I'm going to save Devil Wears Prada. See All Good Things.
Save it.
Because it's streaming. All Good Things is streaming, and we just talked about the jinx.
Fantastic.
I don't want to.
I'll watch it with the wife. She likes that Ryan Gosling.
All Good Things.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, I want to watch the All Good Things soon while I still got the Robert Durst
jinx
thing in my head. You know what I mean?
Jinx.
I wonder if they're going to make him look like he's all innocent.
What are we gambling on this time?
This week you get more of Kevin Hart with Get Hard.
Ooh.
That's tough.
Is that a mad because it sounds like his movie?
How dare you?
Road
it
Hard,
like
Get
Road
Hard. Be Hard. I thought that this movie already came out. I was actually kind of sad for Will Smith.
It
kind of
did in many different forms.
No, but I thought like it came out a couple months ago. And Kevin Hart, he's not in many movies.
I know, he should really get out more. I mean, his agent really should get off his fucking ass and start getting him auditions.
O.J. Simpson.
Ooh, I said 50. You said 32.
32. Well, O.J.
O.J., I said 50.
This looks terrible.
It doesn't look good, but I wonder
It looks like a fun SNL sketch that they can do, like, you know, two or three times.
I think this. Well, I just got to get over
it. I don't know anything like who wrote it or directed it.
41 is what I got to get over.
It looks like a fast cash grabber.
Yeah, I have no idea who's involved in this.
Currently, the Wednesday before its release, with 14 reviews, Get Hard's Rotten Tomato score is 36%.
41 is the dividing line. This is going to go down to the wire.
I don't like it.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to all of our featured artists.
So tired. I got to start cheating.
You may win this week. You're in the lead.
Barely.
Mm-hmm. Better than the last few weeks. We're out of it right away.
All right.
You had no chance.
Sidekicks. Hey, thanks to whoever threw that at me. I think it was on that. I don't know where it was, but thank you. Quick reminder. If you want a Cold Cockle production shirt, this run. Only the second run I've done so far, so these are still like new and authentic. They're really comfortable shirts. They're fantastic. Help me with the editing. I'm gonna have some stickers made up soon too, because like stuff's getting pretty expensive in the old festival circuits and this and that.
Post-production world.
I'm doing a lot of it myself, but yeah, costs do come up. But if you want a shirt, $25. Make sure you make it out to Anderson Cowan, P.O. Box.
Oh, don't say that again. But it's on the web. So put it on the website so everyone can find it. Yes.
Yes.
God forbid, P.O. Box 570058, Tarzana, California 91357.
No one's
riding.
If we could put it on, that'd be
fantastic. Yeah.
He's like, I want to send something to him.
Anderson and Brian?
Anderson and Brian is the website.
Cool.
Yeah, AndersonBryan.com. That's where you go to find Anderson's P.O. Box. It's where you go to see the fan art by Jim M. It's where you go to submit your own fan art or submit your band or your music. A list of films discussed. Information on, comment on the episodes. Check us out on Red Edit. Also on Facebook and Twitter, The Film Vault on both. AndersonCowan.com, TheAfterDisaster.com.
Snuff set.
So many places to go. Anderson?
We do it, Van Gogh!